You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Indeed. Here he is, Jamie Lee. How's it going?
Kelly, great to be with you. Great. Finally in person.
In person. He's on the blue mic.
Thank you.
It's you're national.
On the, you're on the red bike. You're not red though, are you?
No. Look, I can't tell you that.
Okay.
I'm keeping my judgment to myself.
Guessing.
Yeah, I'm neutral. I'm a journalist. I've got to be neutral.
Of course.
So tell me about life. How's the campaign been recently?
It's going pretty well.
Yeah.
There's not long to go. I think it's, what, 15 days or so? Yeah, it's getting intense, though.
Yeah.
Look, in my electorate of Botany, it feels pretty good. There's a lot of good support out there. But I think we're having a competition, and that's good for New Zealanders. They get to see policy. They get to see different ideas.
Yeah.
And for the Labour and National supporters, it's good to see it tightening up, too, because it gets people motivated and out there and working hard.
Mm.
And I think for New Zealanders, it'll see more people voting as well.
Right.
When one party's well ahead of the other.
Feeling of the Comma Brunt poll last night?
There's a whole lot of polls out there. There's the TV3 poll and Roy Morgan and the newspapers will do them. We do internal polling as well.
Yeah.
It's fair to say Colmar Brunton is out of line with what both Labour and National internally are saying. We don't share it with each other, but of course we all chat and you hear about what's going on.
Right.
So it's a bit out of line with what you're seeing in those other polls.
Right.
However, it's going to tune people's minds into the fact that we've got a real competition here. There's the possibility of a change in government.
Mm.
So people need to sit down and assess the policies, work out what they want to see their country doing in the next 3 years, and work out who is presenting the policy options that work for them.
Cool.
So I think overall it's good for democracy.
Yeah, I agree. I think we'll see a pretty high turnout this year. Well, I'm hoping anyway.
You will.
We've got to hope. So obviously we're talking about immigration. For the listeners, can you explain some of the changes that National made earlier this year to the essential skills visa?
So pretty much what we have is, think of immigration like a tap. When your economy is not doing so well and you've got higher unemployment in the country and you don't have as many jobs being created, you turn that immigration tap off. We're in a position where our country is doing pretty well. We're in a position where our country is growing economically and we're creating more and more jobs. Unemployment is going down. Countries tend to turn the immigration tap up a little bit when unemployment is low in the country because you need more skills. What we've done recently is to simplify it, put in place the remuneration thresholds so it's easier for people to say whether they're getting a job in the particular threshold and what that can mean for them. We've previously had a regime which was skills-based and still is skills-based, but it was very technical around what particular skill and qualification you have. It's been simplified now. So I think it's easier for employers and potential employees to look at as well. The bottom line with immigration, though, is we've got net migration up about 70,000 at the moment. If you talk to our friends on the other side of the political fence, they'll probably say it's too much. But we're actually seeing tens of thousands of New Zealanders returning home now when previously they were going to Australia. When we became government, we were losing 40,000 New Zealanders to Australia a year.
Yeah.
Net migration between Australia and New Zealand is now positive in our direction.
Yep.
Not at the thousands, but I think about 800 as the figure now, net migration, positive migration to New Zealand. That's a huge turnaround. That's New Zealanders voting with their feet. That's New Zealanders deciding they prefer to stay in New Zealand or come home from Australia, and that's a positive thing.
For the immigrants, the essential skills visa, for a lot of them that were here, that when those thresholds came into play, there was 41,000, I believe, that was... You're under 41,000. You have once those visas expire, they had to go back home. They've got 12 months stand down period before they can reapply. Is that correct?
Yep. Whenever you make changes to immigration, there's a bit of uncertainty for people.
Yep.
But changes are required, so your system's constantly adapting. And I guess that what you need to realise, or what we all need to realise with immigration is just because you have a work visa doesn't mean you have the right to stay here permanently. We have a Kiwis first approach to immigration. We use immigration to fill gaps in our system, typically around skills. We don't train all the skills we need, and when our economy's growing and we're creating jobs, we don't have all the New Zealanders we want to fill all those gaps. So you use immigration and you use skills and you use remuneration thresholds to plug the gap, basically. If we didn't do that, which is what some of the other political parties want, is to slow down immigration, you would see a situation where employers were not able to expand or grow their business. There wouldn't be employees to fill those positions. You probably wouldn't change unemployment very much at all, because unemployment's at about late fours at the moment, and it's trending towards low fours. That's pretty high, pretty high employment for a country. There are very few countries in the world in the OECD that have unemployment that low. So we just don't have the New Zealanders there to do the jobs.
So when you're saying, because you're obviously saying that you're more pro-immigration perhaps than some of those across the fence from you.
I like to say we're realistic about the economic circumstances we have.
Which, awesome. So do you think then that by having that 3-year gap, like that 3-year kind of, they have to leave again, and then having that 12-month stand-down period, that we're not letting these immigrants come in?
That's like right at the lower end.
Yeah, but I mean, in places like hospitality, seasonal fruit picking, you know, aged care, where that's probably very much needed, and now we're going to have these people come in for 3 years and then, you know, not be able to invest in the country, not have, you know, not feel really culturally welcomed here, and just going to have like a problem with longevity. Or
it's also being realistic with them. I mean, if you're at the real low end of the skill level, and you have an expectation of being here for a long period of time, the more you're here, the more you become a Kiwi, the more you have a belief that you should be able to stay. But if you're looking at it from a country's perspective, and you're going to have people that aren't just filling skills gaps but want to stay here long term, as a country you want to say, we want to bring in the best, the highest quality, the highest skilled people that we can, because they're going to make the biggest economic contribution to New Zealand. And so quite reasonably, the country, New Zealand, says the higher your skill level, the more you're earning, more likely it's going to be that you'll be able to stay. If you are at the lower end of the skill set and you are unable to go and upskill yourself whilst you're here, then we should be realistic with people that it's not likely they're going to be able to stay here.
So National has drawn a proxy from wage to skill.
Well, we've simplified it by doing it that way. I think you'd be misleading people by putting them in a position where they may have been picking fruit for 10 years, have their kids here and potentially starting school. You'd be misleading them into thinking they can be here longer term, and being honest with migrants is important. The thing I want to say about immigration is, I mean, if you go out there and talk on the streets to people about immigration, ask them what they believe, they think that we have too many migrants coming to the country. It's actually really hard to migrate to this country long term. If you want to come here and live here, you either have to be bringing skills at the higher end that we need, you have to be investing quite large amounts of money, and more funds coming into New Zealand is good, it boosts the economy, or you have to be in a position where you're marrying a New Zealander. And I don't think any government wants to honestly say you want to turn off skills, turn away investment, or say to New Zealanders they can't marry the person they love. The other main area of coming in is by way of students, and international education in New Zealand is worth about $4.5 billion to the country. 33,000 people work in international education in New Zealand, and some of those transition and pathway through to residency as well. Those are the four main areas for coming into New Zealand. It's hard to stay, and as an electorate MP, I have people every week coming to my office because they'd love to stay here, but they just can't because it's too hard. We do well as a country through migration.
We've got some criticisms, obviously, from other parties, as you can assume, that What?
Do we have an election or something?
We should get them all in here. So that by having this threshold, that obviously the people that have higher salaries can stay for longer, like you're saying, can apply for permanent residency, and that kind of creates an underclass of workers that could be vulnerable to exploitation, because they have these very strict limitations that they have to stay within, and if their employer says, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, I'm going to cut this, I'm going to cut that, and you're going to be gone. Do you think that's an issue?
Well, if an employer is exploiting employees, whether they're migrants or not, they should be investigated by the Ministry of Building and Innovation through the old Department of Labour Inspectorate, which has been renamed and remodeled and everything. I think there's also a need for us to ensure that the immigration advisors that are giving advice are giving high quality advice, and where there's people being misled, they should be checked out and investigated and given a very good rap over the knuckles. You need to draw a line somewhere though, and you need to be honest with people, and you need to identify as a country what is important for you and what the goals are. The goals are to fill skills shortages and ensure that those that are here long term and end up becoming residents and citizens are the highest quality that you can have. If you just look at it from a theoretical perspective, what do you want as a country? Do you want to let in the best that we can find, or do you want to be extremely charitable and have a situation where you're spending more money supporting the migrants coming to the country than they're actually bringing in economic value? It's a, you know, harsh reality of immigration that you want to fill the skills shortages, you want to bring high quality migrants here, and you want them to be net contributors to the country. And I don't think there's many people out there, apart from in the refugee category, which is understandably and unashamedly the right thing for a country to do, to have refugees coming in. But other than that, you should be bringing in migrants and the net contributors. And so you have to draw a line somewhere.
Yep.
And you can't have everyone that wants to come here. If it was everyone that wanted to come here that could stay, then you'd be you'd have hundreds of thousands coming every year, because we're such a beautiful country.
We are. So I've kind of gone through and drawn kind of the biggest contrasts between National and the other parties, and I just want to get your sort of take on those. So as you were saying before, that we need to draw in people that, you know, will attain, like, help us with the skills shortages that we've got. So Labor's saying they want to propose that each region draws up a skills shortage list, and then we draw on that accordingly. How do you respond to that?
And if you are migrating here and working outside of Auckland, you get extra points towards getting residency, if you like. We do try and attract and push people towards the regions, because we don't want everyone coming to Auckland and we don't want everyone staying here in Auckland. So I think we tripled the points that you can get if you move out to the regions. The recognised seasonal employer scheme has also been boosted, I think, from about 5,000 to about 10,500. Those are people that are picking the fruit, that are working on the farms, that are doing those jobs which it's a struggle to get New Zealanders to do. So they're typically in the regions as well. The using a point system, getting engaging with the regions and the economic development agencies within particular councils in the regions is the way in which you try and pinpoint where you need the migration to plug the gap. It's not a perfect science, though.
Do you think that Labor reducing to 20,000 is too much?
Well, I don't think we actually know exactly how far they're going to reduce it. They're saying tens of thousands to form government. They're probably going to need.
They said they want it. They want to reduce it by 20,000 a year to 30,000.
Right. And then you're going to ask Winston what he wants to, and he wants to
exactly. He wants to be
further.
Down to 10,000.
Yeah, that, look, you would just hurt the country. You'd have people here who would have to leave when they've established themselves quite well already. You'd have employers that wouldn't be able to fill jobs. You'd have international education, which would decline rapidly. It's worth a lot of money to the country. You'd have people here who want to come to New Zealand and invest funds and build more businesses and help grow our economy. They wouldn't come as well. You'd be cutting off your nose to spite your face. It's popular to go out there in the streets and talk to the grumpy old men and women and say, we're going to slash immigration. It's not the right thing to do economically for the country, though.
ACT has said that they stand up for a system that is... you can come into our country if you want to be productive and peaceful and if you pay your taxes. So it's sort of that balanced view of, we treat you as humanely, well, this is what ACT says, we treat you as humanely, but also we understand you're an economic liability by having you come into the country, you pay your taxes, that's how it works. Do you see that as a balanced view?
Well, ACT is one MP. It's easier to say whatever you want when you're one MP in the parliament versus, National's 59 right now, Labor's 32.
Shout out to David.
He works hard and he puts forward policy ideas, but he doesn't get a huge amount across the line, understandably, because he's one MP. Yes, migrants, if they are leaning on the education or health system, then they are probably costing us more as a country, but we also take a long-term view about the economic potential for a migrant coming to the country. That's where the skills criteria comes in. That's where the remuneration criteria comes in as well. You need to fill those skill gaps, though, otherwise you're hurting yourself as a country.
So finally, what is your response to Statistics New Zealand's claims that Nationals let in 60,000 migrants since 2001 and that was underestimated, that there were 60,000 immigrants that are here that people didn't know about as such because of what they wrote on their arrival cards. And it was kind of an age-old way of tracking immigrants. And you know, people are saying Michael Woodhouse should have looked into this because this is an old method.
Since 2001?
Since 2001.
60,000 since 2001.
According to Newsroom.
Do you know whether...
Well, according to Statistics New Zealand from Newsroom.
Yeah. Look, I don't have an answer to that. What I would say is, though, that there's always going to be a level of overstaying. You can't stop it. Well, you do your best to investigate it and move them on. And the Immigration New Zealand, they're hard ass. They're pretty hard on people that they find to be overstaying. 60,000 sounds like a high number. However, spread over quite a number of years since 2001, I guess it's a relatively low year on year. I don't know whether those 60,000 are all staying or they're going or what. Bottom line is, we should have an inspectorate and a group there that investigates where there are problems, either through a migrant doing dodgy stuff or through either through an employer doing dodgy stuff or a migrant not being honest. My experience, having seen it, is that if you are in New Zealand and you have not been completely honest with Immigration New Zealand, it really closes that door on you. So they'll get found out eventually. They'll find their way through. The other thing we've done is we've increased the refugee category. It's been boosted up to 1,000 as well. And I think more and more will, over the years, we'll see the refugee category slowly increase, which is a positive thing. You can't just bring in any refugee you want, though, because if you don't have the support there for them, you're actually harming them.
I've got quite a couple of people texting in. Would you like to respond? I mean, we've got you live, so this is the whole point. Somebody said, dude, we haven't built the infrastructure to deal with all the immigrants, especially in Auckland. I'm in the building trade and did a four-year apprenticeship in the 80s, and I'm constantly fixing stuff up from cowboys from overseas. Flooding the country is short-term thinking. Paul.
Well, no, it's not. We need more and more migrants that have the skills in the construction sector to do the infrastructure building that we need. I mean, a big part of the migration flow in, for example, to Christchurch was people to help rebuild Christchurch. We had a big natural disaster there and we didn't have the people there to rebuild Christchurch. We've got property development and we've got building rates in Auckland that are going through the roof. We need more people to be in construction there. In a perfect world, you would identify every single skill you needed in your country and you'd train them for every single skill you need. You can't do that though. It's an imperfect science. You need to import labour to do that. I would argue that if you were to slash immigration by, you know, 20,000 or more, you would have employers within months screaming because they can't fill jobs. That you'd have people screaming because they couldn't grow their business, they couldn't help grow the economy, and you'd be hurting yourself. We should be pushing people out to the regions and not just basing everyone in Auckland, and we are. And I think there's a natural momentum there, people going out to the regions anyway, as Auckland property prices were growing and they weren't as high in other parts of New Zealand. People were moving to areas where they were able to afford housing more. Auckland's actually stalling now in terms of property prices, and you're seeing more and more the regions are growing in terms of property values, and there's a natural flow there as well.
Awesome. Well, hopefully that answered your question, Paul. Cool. Thank you so much.
Thanks, dude.
That was Jamie Lee Ross. Thank you so much for joining us live.
Good to be with you, Kelly.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/becasts.